I'm glad to be home after a rapid visit to the UK. I saw a lot of my family, but of course one person I did not see was my brother Richard, who died quite a while back. Every Christmas, Richard used to faithfully send out a Christmas letter with the normal kind of information about his family's activities during the year. But Richard was not an optimist. Every year he told us that things were so bad that the end of the world was surely nigh and we might not be around to share Christmas letters the following year. After the news during these few weeks, I feel somewhat tempted to send out a similar dismal letter. We have seen tragedy upon tragedy. Some have affected entire communities. Some are much more local and some which are personal disasters. As if the shooting in Thousand Oaks and the fires were not enough, locally a young woman in her 20s driving under the influence killed the beloved pastor of Morro Bay Presbyterian Church. And then our friend and member J.W. was arrested. Although through the generosity of many of you, he was initially able to post bail. On Monday, it was raised to $1 million. And so he will be in jail for the foreseeable future. This is a loss and a sadness for us. And then to top it all, three scary reports about the climate came out and the stock market dropped. There is a lot in our world to be sad and concerned about. And today we celebrate the reign of Christ, the final Sunday of the church's year, which is when we remind ourselves that the God of love really does get the final say. Our gospel reading was taken from the middle of an account of a great tragedy, a tragedy that rocked the disciples' world. Jesus, whom they loved, followed, and revered as the Son of God, was arrested and tried for blasphemy and sedition, accused of having claimed to be the King of the Jews. With 2020 hindsight, we can see what this is leading up to. We know that resurrection will come, but the disciples didn't. Jesus was facing Pilate, the representative of the Roman Empire, who asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And after a short exchange, Pilate asked him again, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." When I read this passage, I'm never sure about the inflection on that statement of Jesus, "You say that I am a king." Should it be, "You say that I am a king," or "You say that I am a king," or this year I wondered whether it might actually be, "You say that I am a king." Was Jesus perhaps saying that the language describing him as a king was somehow missing the mark? That we might call him a king, but that he himself wouldn't use that term? We often use the analogy of king to describe the role and the status of Jesus the Christ, especially in our hymns. But as we increasingly understand God to be immanent, that is, to be within and through all things, not only transcendent, that is, separate and beyond creation, maybe the image of Christ as king is no longer so helpful. So what does Jesus offer us in its place? He says, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice," he said. Which begs the question of what truth is Jesus referring to? And this, of course, is John's gospel with its particular idiosyncratic perspective. And so it's helpful, I think, to go back to the prologue to the gospel where we find similar language. There we read that John the Baptizer came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. And it goes on to declare about Jesus that to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. And then a couple of chapters later, John the Baptizer returns to this theme. He says, "The one who has come from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard. He whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has placed all things in his hands. The Father loves the Son and has placed all things in his hands. So this is the truth. The truth is that all things are placed in the hands of the Christ, who gives us the power to also become the children of God, which is really very similar to an earthly king, except that Jesus does not hold on to his power, but shares it with all who receive him. So the reign of God, which we are celebrating today, is a reign of shared power, an idea which is expressed in the reading from Revelation as, he has made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. We are the reign of God. We are the royal priesthood of the one who is the Alpha and Omega, the A to Z, the beginning and the end and everything in the middle. Which means that somehow everything that happens, good or bad, good and bad, is held within the reign of Christ. A reign in which we are empowered. We have been given power to become children of God. We have been made royal priests. Let's just explore that idea of priesthood for a moment. The priests of Jesus' time offered sacrifices and prayers on behalf of the people and were seen as servants of God. So if we are priests of the reign of Christ, then we get to serve at the altar of the great A to Z. We get to offer prayers on behalf of the whole of creation. And when we gather as the body of Christ, as we do this morning, the royal priesthood, when we celebrate the sacrifice that God has made on our behalf, we come not just for our own sakes, but for the whole of creation. And this is what we can do with the pain and suffering of our age. Offer it up to God. For in some strange way that we cannot fully understand, in his suffering on the cross, Christ joined with the suffering of this world. The Christ is inextricably involved in the pain we experience. And so we and all of creation are also inextricably involved in the resurrection of the Christ, the God of love. There are many practical things that we can do to live the reign of Christ here and now. We can make sure that we're constantly bringing a little more beauty, a little more kindness, and a lot less trash, carbon, and methane into the part of the world that we inhabit. We can do all that we can to influence public policy for the good of all beings. But these are things that anyone can do. Those of us who have enrolled in the reign of the God of love have a special place, a special calling. As the priests of the great Alpha and Omega, we are the ones who offer the pain and the suffering of the world up to God, minute by minute, day after day. All things, all beings are connected. And as we allow ourselves to be transformed by the love of the God and by the Holy Spirit, so we become more and more Christ-like, so we are transforming our world as we offer the pain of creation up to God. And as we do that, we are working towards the resurrection of all that is. And so this is where we find our hope. When Jesus was hauled before the Sanhedrin, and then before Pilate, the disciples were distraught. This was not the way things were meant to go. All their hope died before their very eyes. But soon resurrection came. As we see things change around us, as the news seems to get worse every day, we have the hope of resurrection. Resurrection will come. All things will be restored in the Christ as the royal priesthood, the kingdom of our great God. Let us intentionally practice the hope of the resurrection on behalf of all beings.